The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It was to talk about something else, and it was actually three different stories that were on the agenda a couple of days ago, and they were to do with littering, to do with e-scooters, and to do with dog poo. Now, on the face of it, all different stories, but actually when you stand back and looked at them, the issue, the underlying issue for all of them was the same. It speaks to a relaxed attitude that some in this country have to what might be considered low-level rule-breaking, even low-level law breaking. The serious stuff we take seriously, but maybe at the other end of the spectrum, we see rules as more recommendations or guidelines. Shane, is that fair?
Yeah, I slightly disagree with the premise, Kieran, if I might. I think we've always had some people would say a healthy disrespect for authority and by extension the law in Ireland. You know, we have this post-colonial thing where we're kind of deeply suspicious of authority. And I think that's manifested itself in loads of ways over the years, from things as benign as jaywalking to maybe more serious stuff like not paying your taxes. But I do think there's been a change in the last few years, and it's a slightly more sinister change, and not that some of the other things weren't wrong either. But the e-scooters, for example, littering. I think since COVID, there's been a kind of a breakdown of, I hate the term law and order because it makes me sound like some kind of right wing lunatic, but there has been a breakdown of order and of those kind of rules of behaviour, and it's particularly groups of young men, boys even, really teenagers. You see it a lot around city centre areas where I live, gangs of youth hanging around, gangs of youth on e-bikes, on scooters, charging around the place, doing wheelies in the middle of the road, running you down nearly on the footpath. I just think there's been a breakdown of that kind of order, and there's an edginess now. Look, I've spoken to you before. I think some of the problems in Dublin city centre are exaggerated. This idea it's the most dangerous city in Europe and all that, I think that's absolute nonsense. I really do.
It's a no-go zone, Shane. The no-go zone.
Like, that's just this rubbish.
You and I should get danger pay, actually, for working here.
We should, for going in on off Exchequer Street and Drury Street and those highly dangerous streets.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I do think that's exaggerated, but I think littering has got worse. I think, like, I saw something 18 months ago that has stuck in my mind. I was walking home to Finsbury, and I was walking around Dominic Street. Now, people who know Dominic Street, it's just literally around the corner from O'Connell Street. And there was a guy who was clearly doing a drugs deal, screaming at the top of his voice down a mobile phone, screaming abuse at someone who obviously hadn't done the delivery or hadn't arrived or whatever, I'm not sure what. But what struck me about it, well, A, it was incredibly intimidating. The guy was walking around with his shirt off. He was a big fella. He was roaring and shouting. It was, like, I'm not a shrinking violet around town, but, you know, it was intimidating.
Yeah.
The other thing that struck me, Kieran, was, and I think this is a significant thing, he didn't give a monkey's who heard him.
Yes.
He had absolutely no fear at all as to who was going to hear him. Now, why is that? Some people would say it's a lack of Gardaí on the streets. I think that's changed a little bit. I think that has improved. But I think it's also because even if there is Gardaí in the street, their hands are largely tied. It's not, you know, the days of Lugs Brannigan, the legendary Garda in the 50s and 60s, who was a brilliant Garda. I'm not in any way knocking him, but, you know, he would deal with that in his own inimitable fashion. That's gone. That's completely gone.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like, is there the prison places? Is there the remand places? Is there, you know, for young boys? Is there? I don't think there is. I don't think there's a fear. I think respect has definitely gone. And I think fear has completely gone. And chatting to people like publicans and shop owners in the city centre, the daily gauntlet of abuse that they have to run from just brats.
Yeah.
Absolute brats.
Patty Shields is with us as well, who's the chairperson of Democrats Abroad. Patty, I'd be interested to get your view on that, on what Shane says, or this idea of, you know, kind of a blind eye turned to what might be considered low-level law-breaking or a post-COVID thing, given your experience of different jurisdictions, different countries? What's it like here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there has been kind of a downgrading of behavior. And you know, like you both were saying, there's a bit of like societal disconnect that I think has happened coming out of COVID, where people are actually emboldened, you know, to do things that, you know, aren't, you know, community minded, like they're kind of operating in their own best interest. You know, I see it here, especially
individualism. That's the world we live in.
Like on like a bank holiday weekend, you know, there's bins around the village where I live in. And when the bins are full, people just lob on more trash on top of the bin. You know, like they don't say, oh, the bin is full, I'm going to take it home. It ends up being like a pile of rubbish by the bin, you know, and it's just like, you know, and then one person sees that done, or, you know, it is, it's like the dog fouling on the footpath while so-and-so is doing it. Now, I'm not saying that happens only in Ireland. Like when we lived back in the States, I remember like our homeowners association was looking into like DNA testing of dog poo, you know, to identify the culprit, you know, so, you know, that would be probably more militant than what's going on, you know, within the neighborhoods here. But I do think that there's this kind of, I don't know, this lack of pride of place.
Yeah.
And just like if everybody else is doing it, well, I'm going to litter too. I'm going to, you know, yeah, I'm going to let my dog poo anywhere, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting avenue to explore. The idea, I guess, maybe that there was never very strict enforcement of some of this stuff in the past, but what probably enforced it was just that sense of community. That you were littering your own street, or that it was your neighbors who might stand in the dog poo or whatever it happened to be. And maybe this explains the COVID thing, you know, when we kind of were all hived off into our little, what did they call them? Bubbles for so long that we saw a big erosion of that. And look, there's other features and factors in society that have led to this kind of individualized state we find ourselves in, that maybe that speaks to it, that we don't have that sense of community.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's community based. But you even look, you know, we spoke about the guards as well. You know, the community, you know, guards who live within the neighborhood who are known. You know, there's a lot of new guards coming out and graduating. Some of them can't afford to live in the areas where they're policing. So there's not like that kind of community, you know, presence around. And then I think people are just more bold. They see people doing it, they turn a blind eye, and then they're more apt to do it themselves.
And Noel Cunningham is with us as well, the hotelier, TV personality, and the author of A Guide to Modern Irish Manners. Noel, do you think we have a greater disregard today for other people in the community?
Absolutely. I hear everything your contributors are referencing. And, you know, their points are very valid. And I love that idea of the disconnect. And really and truly, I think we just have to go back a little, back to basics. What's happening in the home? What's happening in our schools? Because we have become more vulgar. We are no longer putting any emphasis on standards. We are not teaching our young people how to conduct themselves in public, how to prepare for interviews, how to take a girl or a boy on their deb's night. We are not teaching our children how to sit down at table and how to use cutlery properly, knife and fork, what is a wine list, how to read it. Now, that might seem to oversimplify what is, in my opinion, a real problem, because the respect we have for one another is diminishing and disappearing. Mm. And I gave a very good example when I spoke to one of your researchers. I was driving after a car in the last few days, and the family who were in the car in front of me had no compunction whatsoever allowing the children to roll down the back windows and discard ice cream wrappers, chocolate. This shock from you now, that is happening. We look at dog fouling, look at our parks, look at our cities. I mean, people just have no respect, no regard, and we cannot expect to be a nanny state where the local Gardaí or the guards or the old Mr. Plod, as we know him from our childhood, it's not necessarily their role, because a lot of these laws are hard to, you know, to kind of monitor and to enforce. So,
but sorry to cut across you. The idea that we don't teach kids all of those things that you listed off, you know, right down to reading the wine list. That's a job for mum and dad, is it?
I've always said yes, of course, because, you know, we expect our schools sometimes to be both the diplomat and the doormat and all of those things. You know, we have to kind of in our homes start realizing that what might appear fuddy-duddy and old-fashioned are actually basics that carry you through life. And I always remember when I looked after Henry Ford back in the day when I was in the hotel business in Jury's Cork, he told me about his grandfather, the founder of the Ford Motor Company. The last thing he did when choosing some senior executives, he'd sit sort of the final people in the equation around a table, invite them to lunch, observe their behavior, their ability to connect with people at the table, their table manners. And on that, he made his final decision. And I always find that refreshing because I think that is a direction we may have to consider. That's not old-fashioned. That's living life, living a good life, living a more elegant life. Vulgarity and our total disregard for others has become commonplace, and we're far too acceptant of it. We're almost afraid. We're almost afraid now to pull up our children for bad behavior and to say, what about basic please and thank you? What about that piece of rubbish should not have been thrown onto the curb? What about, you know, your dog is fouling? What about the little bags that are provided for you to collect that dog poo?
Well, somebody here on that note says parents are afraid of their kids. It can even be in discussing small things. Kids listen to TV, social media peers, but not their parents. Somebody else says, in my area of Kimmage, the people dumping their domestic rubbish in the public bins are the local little old ladies with their four-wheel trolleys full of rubbish. And I'm almost reluctant to read this text from Jim and Bray, given that Noel has mentioned vulgarity more than once. But Jim has a suggestion. An owner who doesn't clean up his dog poo, if caught, should be forced to poo himself in public and clean that up. Jim, thank you very much for the suggestion. Shane, do you think there's something in that as well, amongst all the other factors we're talking about, the loss of the sense of community?
I do. Now, look, I will say I don't think we were ever brilliant at civic mindedness in this country. To go back to our post-colonial thing, I don't think it's something we do particularly well. But I think you touched on something really important about what happened with COVID and individualization. And I would agree with Noel. I do think, and look, I know I'm going to sound like an old fuddy-duddy saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Things have changed since I were a lad, and I'm conscious as I'm saying
that. Living in a shoebox, middle of the road.
Yeah, I know. But like, it was different. There was an automatic respect given to older generations. Now, I'm not saying this is a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying this is a fact. This has happened. You know, I didn't call my aunt Anna or Mary. It was Auntie Anna, Auntie Mary. There was a more formal structure. If an adult came into the room, you jumped out of your seat and you gave it to the adult. Now, that is gone. That's completely gone. Now, some people say for the better, it's less stuffy, it's less formal, and that's fine. But inevitably, there is a consequence for that. And I think because that level of kind of respect has diminished, I think you are seeing a knock-on impact of that. Again, I'm not passing judgment on it. I'm just saying I think it's the reality.
I have seen police in France and the Netherlands. They certainly are not gentle when dealing with thugs. Maybe we have gone the other extreme. Says somebody, Rose says, why is Shane equating law and order with the right-wing lunatics he mentioned? I long for the law and order, I observe, in other European cities. And this listener says, people are inherently selfish and careless and they need a strong authority to enforce the rules. We don't have that in this country. Bring back conscription and public humiliation for all the gurriers, the person stopping short of the guillotine. But there you go. For what it's worth, I think the strong authority was that sense of community, of being part of a collective as opposed to just being an individual making your way through the world. That, sadly, has disappeared. Shane Coleman, broadcaster, presenter of News Talk Breakfast, Noel Cunningham, hotelier and TV personality, the author of A Guide to Modern Irish Manners, and Patty Smith, chair of Democrats Abroad. Thank you all very, very much. Way back at 4 o'clock, because we had a couple of stories in the show the other day that on the face of it, they were all separate. There was a story about littering, there was a story about dog poo, and there was a story about e-scooters not obeying the rules of the road. And it was only when we stood back and looked at them, we realised there was something in common. There was a sense of low-level rule-breaking or even low-level law-breaking that people, well, turn a blind eye to or are tolerant of or are not enforced. And we had different views on this earlier. Patty Shields, who's from the States and living here, remarked on how different the experience of that low-level stuff is here compared to there. Noel Cunningham from Donegal ruled the vulgarity that has crept into everyday life. And Shane Coleman suggested that that has always been a feature of Irish life and it's got a lot worse post-COVID. With me to continue the discussion is Brenda Power, the Sunday Times and Daily Mail columnist, and Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. Brenda, maybe I should ask you first of all, I mean, do you agree with the premise of the discussion? I hope you do, or there's not much point in having it. There's a tolerance or an acquiescence or a turning of a blind eye to low-level stuff.
I think there absolutely is. And I'm not sure that COVID deserves all the blame. I mean, we seem to be pinning every social ill now on COVID and saying, well, people were desocialized and didn't mix as much, didn't have the same contact. And sometimes if we're talking about younger people, who I think are probably the main culprits that we're talking about here, were sort of denied a essential social awareness at a particular time. I don't know about that. I mean, it seems to be all ages. You know, if I walk my dog in the morning, and the amount of people who do not bother to pick up after their dogs is actually mind-boggling. And, you know, the littering around the city, you know, all kinds of rubbish, but especially these vapes, which I think are particularly associated with younger people. I mean, I don't know, Karen, is it time to blame the parents? I actually think is responsible for a lot of younger people's behaviour is not so much parents as parenting. You know, years ago, people reared their kids, they raised their kids, and they invested in how their kids turned out. Now, this whole concept of parenting seems to be about, sure, laissez-faire, you know, I'll let them off, really, and let's do
it. Got to let them flourish, Brenda.
I don't know, it's not flourishing. You need to, you know, you need to sort of rein in any crop that you're raising, and you have to set boundaries, and you have to sort of knock back bad behavior. Parents do not do that anymore. I mean, you saw that story, Kieran, about the parents who had their baby wailing all through Emma Raducanu's.
Oh, stop. Don't get me started on those parents. I was sounding off on them all day yesterday. Yeah, exactly.
They're everywhere. And these kids are the ones who will grow up without boundaries because they've been told they're little princes and princesses, you know, who can't ever hear the word no.
Brendan Kelly is with us as well in studio, as I say, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. Brendan, there's lots of different factors that have been cited. You know, Brendan mentions kind of parenting there, and, you know, Noel Kelly was talking about that really when he mentioned vulgarity as well earlier, and Shane mentioned COVID. Patty as well is talking about the differences between the States and here, talked about the sense of community having been eroded, that we don't have the same pride of place maybe that we once did. You know, the idea that we probably never really enforced these rules, yet they were followed. So we're still not enforcing them, and now they're not being followed. So what's the difference?
Okay, well, a lot of things have changed, and we do like to blame COVID, and we blame social media and so forth, but we need to look at what's actually happening.
Don't say we should blame ourselves now, Brendan. I'm not into any of that guff. The fault, dear Brutus, lies not in the stars.
I'm wondering if there is a fault at all. I mean, we have always complained that younger people lacked manners. The Greeks said the younger generation had no manners and no respect. The Victorians declined the end of courtesy and politeness and the end of civilization. As a result, every generation blames the young people for the ills of society. When you look at the surveys of litter in Ireland, it is very stable. When you look at the percentage of places declared litter free, it is quite low, around 22%, but it's very stable as well. When you look at things like the bottle and can return scheme, it has reduced that kind of litter by 50%. I am not at all convinced that everything is getting worse and that there is necessarily such a huge problem to be solved. We do focus selectively on certain parameters and we ignore others.
This is even worse. I thought you were going to blame us. You're actually coming in here and you're saying, Kieran, the problem is you're getting old.
I'm saying that there are intergenerational...
This is really awful.
There are intergenerational issues that have always been present and they're present still. And I'm not at all convinced. In fact, the young people that I meet tend to be incredibly polite, incredibly tolerant, and incredibly gentle. I'm not at all clear that social ills can be blamed on them. And above all else, let's try and avoid using COVID or social media as a scapegoat yet again.
So, Brenda, we're raging against the dying of the light here.
I would agree with that, but at this and a lot of the bad behaviour you see is older people as well. I mean, obviously the dog walkers out early morning are not teenagers, and I agree that you beat very civilised and respectful younger people, but equally I do think that the littering associated with the vapes, for example, is all young people. And I mean, we were brought up here. Not about you. You put your litter in the bin, and if there wasn't a bin, you carried it home, and that just seems to be gone. And I essentially what we were talking about his manners. And I get, that the ancient Greeks believed that their young people were off to hell in a handcart because their manners were gone. But it is basic manners, and it's not just confined to younger people. It's kind of across the board. And I mean, as a cyclist now, the rudeness of other cyclists, particularly in cycle lanes, people on e-scooters. I know e-scooters themselves are not to blame, but often their users are. And, you just feel there's a general lack of concern of basic manners for other people's right to exist in the same space as you. I've been getting emails into the Sunday Times from I don't know why they picked on me, but I'm glad they did. Some older people complaining about not being able to get seats on the Lewis. And they say they've been made stand. One man said he's an 80-year-old man with a bad hip. He said, I have to stand and look at parents with their little children, like 4 and 5 year olds, taking up a seat, and they wouldn't dream of budging to let me sit down. Now, that's manners, and that those kids are never going to learn basic fundamentals of living in society if their parents don't teach it to them.
Brendan, whether we're going to hell in a handbasket or not, or whether it's a contributing factor to that, were you to accept that premise, what do you think of the argument or the point made by Patty that there is an erosion, or there has been, of the sense of community that once existed?
Yeah, I mean,
that we live in a more individualistic society. Now, you might say, listen, that hasn't led to kind of increased littering or anything, but do you think it's true?
I mean, I think it's true to an extent, but we need to be very careful about romanticising an imagined past, because a lot of people do that. They think the past was more coherent than it was. And the good old days, they weren't all that good. When we talk of a sense of community in Ireland, we're often referring to some decades ago when there were all kinds of problems with that. And remember, a strong community is also an excluding community, because those who are excluded are more excluded when a community is stronger, because it rarely includes absolutely everybody. But yes, there is a sense that nowadays that everyone is a soloist and there's no one in the choir. That is true for
sure.
We're
all stars of our own TV show.
We are all the stars. We're all the heroes. But there is still community. Community and the shape of community is changing. Online communities, social media based communities are real communities. And I think people of my generation, I'm just going to say I've just turned 52, we often struggle to understand the nature, the import and the strength of those communities, which are often stronger for younger people.
So is lamenting that loss or wanting to restore a sense of community, is that then in your mind a version of, make America great again? Instead, we just have to accept the individualization of society and learn to live with it?
Listen, Kieran, I enjoy a thunderous denunciation of the younger generation as much as the next person does. However, look, it has always been the case we needed to strengthen communities. People have always lamented the decline in manners and the decline in the quality of society. And look, that's true to an extent. It's something we need to work on all the time. But I don't think that we are in a catastrophic decline. What I do have concern about, though, are the bigger implications of a lack of respect for, say, the planet. This idea that we share a common planet, and that the tragedy of commons, as they say, that people can extract more than they give, is leading to this much bigger issue of climate crisis.
But that's partially a consequence of individualization, isn't it? That I don't feel any sense of responsibility to Brenda or Brendan.
Mm. It absolutely is, and that has been the case. If you like, I don't think that's any more than it was, but possibly it has more consequence in a technological age than it previously did.
Brenda, can we go back to restoring a sense of community without necessarily, the valley of the squinting windows?
Well, you see, I do think that it is a breakdown in the sense of community that is responsible for this. And, we can say that all generation has had these same concerns, but they haven't had the pressures that we have in terms of the likes of social media and the internet. That is completely new departure in inter-person relationships in the 21st century. And you know, look, what stops you behaving badly is, you know, a sense of community. Now, you know, people's fear maybe is, well, I might be filmed if I don't pick up my dog poo, or if I shoplift or whatever. That doesn't seem to be acting as any kind of a deterrent, because people are just as likely to post that and boast about it on social media anymore. So there does seem to be a breakdown in a sense of your duty to the community. It is really about what it owes you. I genuinely am baffled when I walk the dog in the morning by how anybody could just leave, you know, what they do on the pavement without even thinking of people in wheelchairs, for example, who can't avoid this. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to understand how that sense of community has not been instilled in people. And, you know, I get that this has been a sort of perennial complaint. But at the same time, maybe it is, Claire, maybe we're just getting old.
Nah, we haven't even talked about the people who do pick up the dog poo and then hang it on a tree. I mean, they're the worst.
They're the worst. But, you know, recently I actually was driving home and I saw somebody letting their dog have a big poo outside the school. So I pulled in, ran back, got a bag out of my car, intending to follow him and give it to him. When I got back, scooped it up, he was gone. So I looked like a really strange person who just collected dog
poo.
I was
just walking around with dog poo and no dog. Well, if you are that person who saw a woman walking around, it was Brenda and she was doing her civic duty. Brenda Power, Sunday Times and Daily Mail columnist Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry, Trinity College Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.